And I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy.
Our hands to Jesus today. So glad to know that I have joy unspeakable. It is promised in His Word. It is promised in the Word of the Lord, and I have it, and you can have it too. Amen. You may be seated this morning. God is the absolute embodiment of perfection and beauty. The psalmist said in the 18th psalm, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him." In the 29th psalm, he said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness." John the Revelator said, "He is the Lord of lords, and He is the King of kings." The psalmist sang, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." He is the past. He is the present. He is the future. You can count on God. He's the Ancient of Days, the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is the bright and morning star, the first and last, our creator, our sustainer, and the breath of life. And Jesus said in Revelation 1, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending." And John the Revelator added to that, "which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Yeah. image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that were created in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created for him and by him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. God is completely self-existent. He has always existed. He will forever exist. He is the eternal God, the God you can count on to be there for you in your time of need. Amen? Isaiah, he wrote in the 40th chapter, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." He's not going to be asleep when you call him. He's not going to faint on you. You're not going to wear out God. You're not going to cause God too much trouble. He had no creator. He is entirely self-sufficient. And God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. In the 18th Psalm, we see that God rode on the wings of wind. And in Proverbs 30, you can see that he snatches up that very same wind in his fist. And we see that he binds the waters, not in glass or not in a bowl, but in garments he binds up the waters. And so Job 38 says, "Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. Here shall thy proud waves be stayed." You see, God can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. God is there for you, and God loves you. I love the Lord, and I love him a lot, but I promise you, he loves me more than I love him, because God is love. His love is expounding love. His love is exceeding love. His love is great love. There is no force in heaven or in earth that has the ability to exceed or to conquer God. There is no force in heaven or earth that has the ability to exceed his love. You see, God has no equal. And I want you to know, and I want you to believe, that there is none like unto him, the Lord our God. There is nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. Job 38, that chapter that I just read from, the first verse says this: "The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." There have been a few times I wanted someone to feel like I was speaking to them out of a whirlwind. But God does speak to man out of the whirlwind. And he asked to you and asked to me this question. He said, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." And then he said in verse 8, "Or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth, as but no further out of a womb?" And back to verse 11 that I read, "Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. Here shall thy proud waves be stayed." You see, we serve a God who tells the waters when they can come and when they can go and to where they should go. We serve a God who tells the waters that they must freeze or boil or rise into the sky. We serve a God that powerful. And then we see Jesus, the same voice that spoke the waters into existence back in Genesis. In Matthew, he's speaking to them again when he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. You see, those waters responded to the voice of Jesus because they recognized that voice as the creator. And in James 2, the demons in hell shudder and tremble at the mention of the name of Jesus, the name above every name, the name that has all power. There is no name greater than the name of Jesus. And the demons in hell are shaking and trembling because we call on the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I like to make them shake. We need to make some devils do some shake and bake down deep under. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus and watch chains break. Call on the name of Jesus and watch sickness flee. Call on the name of Jesus and watch things happen in your life. You whisper the name of Jesus when you can't do anything else. Just get out the breath and say, Jesus, and everything can change in a moment. In the presence of an almighty God, in Micah chapter 1, the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down in a steep place. That is what happens in the presence of an almighty God. That's what happens when the presence of the Lord moves in this place. Mountains moved in my life. I want mountains moved in my life. People say, go big or go home. I want God to go big in this place. The prophet Nahum in chapter 1, verse 2 said, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth, and the Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuked the sea and maketh it dry, and dried up all the rivers. Verse 5 says, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the Lord and all that dwell therein. You see, angels bow before the God we serve. Sickness leaves at his command. Death retreats back into the darkness at the rebuke of Jesus Christ. The waters separate in two so that his people can walk across on dry ground. The waters just divide at his voice and make a way where there seems to be no way. And all this happens at the sound of his voice. You see, nothing can match the beauty of God. Nothing can match the majesty of God. And nothing can match the power of God. Nothing. He sits upon his throne high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. You see, his kingdom has no boundaries. His kingdom has no failures. His kingdom has no losses. He is filled with nothing but victory. And the prophet Habakkuk said, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's pretty epic. As the waters cover the sea. That's how much his glory fills the earth. I don't know about you, Brother Glorbus, but I've never seen a sea that wasn't covered with water. And he said, as the waters cover the sea, his glory fills the earth. His glory covers the earth, and his holiness is not just an attribute. His holiness is not just a quality. Holiness is who he is. And with unparalleled wisdom, the almighty and graceful and merciful God is without fault. And it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is the faithfulness of an almighty God who has new mercies for you every morning. Words cannot begin to describe the greatness of an almighty God. Words cannot begin to describe the infinite God we serve. And my wife and I had a dear friend, pastor friend, who passed away recently. But he wrote a song. He said, words fail me when I'm trying to talk about you, God. I just can't find the words to simply express how great you are. There's not enough words in the dictionary to describe God and to define God, a God who has zero flaws. There's not enough words in the English language or any other language for this God who has no equal and loves you and loves me. This is our God. This is the God we love, and this is the God we serve. You see, God reached his hands down into the dirt of this earth, and he formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is the God you and I worship today and praise and serve. This is the God who is faithful and trustworthy. This is the God who is merciful and graceful. This is the God who is kind, benevolent. You see, this is the God that created you. He's everything you would want a father to be. I hope I'm a good dad to my kids, but I promise you our Heavenly Father is everything his kids need him to be. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Jesus said in John 10, he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, everything about who he is in all of his wonder and all of his excellence and all of his awesomeness is really considerably more than we could ever ascertain or comprehend in our finite minds. And yet God said in Genesis 15, 1, he said, you fear not because I am your shield and I am your exceeding great reward. And so this is what I want us to see this morning. He gave us a command, and he gave us a promise. He gave us a command. He said, you fear not. And then he gave us a promise. He said, I'm your reward. Fear not. I am your reward. He gave us a command. Fear not. He gave us a promise. I am your reward. Fear not. I am your exceeding great reward. And God's commands do not come with emptiness. His commands do not arrive to our hearts and to our minds lopsided with no upside for us. We do not have a God who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So let us boldly come before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. We have commands, but we have promises that meet or match or exceed those commands. He said, you fear not, and I'll be your exceeding great reward. Jesus said in Mark 10, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. He said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. More often than not, a child fails to do something because the child is afraid to do whatever it is that we want them to do. A child is afraid to walk. A child is afraid to jump. A child is afraid to swim, or maybe the child is afraid of the dark or afraid to ride a bike. We as adults are often too afraid to respond as well. Too afraid to really trust in God. Too afraid to really put it all in the Lord's hands. Too afraid to really depend on Jesus. And so the prophet said in Isaiah, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. You see, there's a command. You fear not. You fear not. And be not dismayed. He commanded us, you fear not, you be not dismayed. But then he follows that up with promise. He said, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. We have to obey the command to get the promise. And so look at Isaiah 41. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I will help you. He gave you a command and then he gave you a promise. He said, you fear not, I will help you. So all you have to do to get that is fear not. That's the only part of the command there. It's just fear not. And he says, I will help you. You get the promise just because you didn't fear. Anybody else afraid of heights? That's why I ride roller coasters, because I'm afraid of heights. So I like to go on the tallest, highest ones, because I'm so afraid of heights. It gives me such an adrenaline rush. I get to the top and I pray through. Jacob says I speak in tongues on the roller coaster. You know what? As much as I fear heights, and I'm afraid on those roller coasters, I put on that harness that you pull down and I put on those belts and I shake it hard. I don't just rely on the person that's running the roller coaster to come check my harness. I see if I can break it because I'm getting ready to go on a ride. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm checking to see if I can trust what's holding on to me. You can trust what's holding on to you. You can trust the God who spun the worlds and they obey his voice. You can trust God who spins the galaxies and speaks to the winds and the waves and they obey his voice. You can trust the God who's holding on to you. Go ahead and see what you can do with the harness, but I promise you, you can trust in God. And so he said, fear not, I'll take care of you. Fear not, I will protect you. Fear not, I will help you. There's a command, and then you have a promise. And so when a child approaches something awesome with excitement, he or she runs into it with an openness and with a willingness. And so Jesus told us we must approach his kingdom like a child would approach something new and awesome. And you see, children are often afraid until they know everything is going to be okay. And a child may be afraid to ride a bike without training wheels. But as soon as she knows that daddy is going to be there, she's going to take off and she's going to ride. She's going to ride like the wind. Why? Because she knows daddy's there. Our heavenly father is going to be there. You just go ahead and trust. You just go ahead and not fear. You just go ahead and obey the command of do not fear, because his promises are true. Jesus told us to come to him like a child would come to him. And he promises to be there. He promises to always be there. And so look at 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yea. I want to read that to you in the English Standard Version. The English Standard Version says it this way: for all the promises of God find their yes in him. They find their yes in God. The promises of God find their permission. The promises of God find their abilities. The promises of God find their strength. The promises of God find their yes, Brother Ishmael, in the God who made him. Brother Ishmael, I promise you, I'm going to give you $1 million. The promise of that has little to no value. Well, yes, no value. Because I don't have the ability to give the yes on that. I don't have the ability to put a yes with that promise. I don't. The bank will give me an emphatic no. But the promises of God already come in with the built-in yes. They come in with a definitive yes. They come in with an undeniable yes. The promises of God come in with a yes that Satan can't take away. The promises of God come in with a yes that is fire. The promises of God come in with a yes that is powerful. The promises of God come in like a flood on your behalf. So in Luke 24, Jesus commanded the disciples to wait in Jerusalem. And he said, it's going to be, there's a command there. He said, you wait. There's a command there. He said, you wait. You just wait. He said, you wait until you be endued with power from on high.
You wait until you be endued with power from on high. And so he commanded us to repent, and he commanded us to be baptized in the name of Jesus. But he promised us that he would fill us with the Holy Ghost. He will fill you with my spirit. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. But then there's the promise. I will fill you with my spirit. I will fill you with the Holy Ghost. There's a command that if you will submit your life to me, I will fill you with me. There's a command and there's a promise, and God's commands always come with promises. He commanded us to bring our tithes into the storehouse, but he also promised us that he would open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings greater than we could contain. Our God is awesome. Our God is incredible. Our God is amazing. And at times we are too earthly fearful to trust him. But Proverbs 3 said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And there's no quid pro quo here. There is no quid pro quo with God. You cannot bargain with God. You cannot disobey God. You can't bargain with him. You can't just say, well, I'm willing to do this. I hate yard sales. Who said hallelujah? I agree with you. Hallelujah. I hate yard sales. Amen. I hate them. I hate them with a passion. I think yard sales were sent here to torment me. And you put all of your stuff that you don't want out on the driveway. And you put something that you paid $100 for $5, and someone has the audacity to say, I'll give you two. And I want so badly to say, if that $3 is going to break you, then go get a job. Some of you agree with me. Some of you are the one who said, I'll give you two. I still love you. The only access to But you don't get that with God. The only access to the promises of God, the only access to the promises of a great, awesome creator, this almighty God, the only access to the promises of God is in obedience to his commands. You obey his commands, and he provides the promise. And this Bible is full of commands, and all of them come with promises. It's full of commands, but they all come with promises. And people say, well, aren't you tired of living like you're in chains? Aren't you tired of being in bondage in your Christian ways? No, I'm not, because every command I've obeyed came with a promise. I'm not tired of it, because every command I have obeyed comes with promises that I like to have. I love the freedom from sin. I love the freedom from addiction. I love to live in power. I like to walk in power. I love what it feels like to walk in the power of holiness and righteousness. I love what happens when I obey the commands of Jesus Christ. I love the Lord, and I know he loves me. So Revelation told us, he said, Jesus spoke to John the Revelator. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's a promise. He said, all you have to do is open the door. All you have to do is open the door. Now, I could not begin to tell you all the promises of God. I could not begin to tell you all the commands of God, at least not in one day. I could spend weeks talking and tell you all of them, because I have the word of the Lord, and so I could do that. But right here, right now, I'm going to show you Deuteronomy 28. It's overwhelmingly in favor of us. Overwhelmingly in favor of us. Deuteronomy 28, God just didn't do himself a favor here. Deuteronomy 28 says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day. That's the command. Then he starts with promises. He said, if you'll hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord and observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high. That's a promise. He said, I'll set you on high above all the nations. That's a promise. He said in verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee, and all these blessings shall overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. The command is just listen to the voice of the Lord. And he said, I'm going to give you so many blessings. These blessings are going to overtake you. I'm going to bless you so much, my blessings will overtake you. And he said in verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. And in verse 5, he said, blessed shalt be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in and when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee from them the other way. I want you to hear me today. All he said you have to do is listen. This sounds like a lopsided deal. The command is you listen. You hearken to the voice of the Lord. And then he just starts rattling off all these blessings you're going to get for listening. He starts rattling off all these blessings you're going to get for obeying his voice. And in verse 8, he said, the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses, in all that thou settest thine hand unto do. If you just listen to the voice of the Lord. If you just listen to the voice of the Lord, he said, when you go to work, I'm going to bless it. When you're working on your car, I'm going to bless it. When you're building your house, I'm going to bless it. And he said, he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This land is our land. This land has been given to us by the Lord. He said, I'm going to bless you in the land. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep his commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. It's a lopsided promise. He gave us a command and then just delineates all these promises. I don't know about you. I'm almost walking away feeling guilty, like I took advantage of God. In verse 10, he said, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. I want it to be known when I walk into some place of business that they can tell I'm a one God, tongue-talking, holy roller, born-again, heaven-bound believer. I want people to know and ask, say, what kind of church you go to? A lot of times our wonderful, beautiful, sweet ladies get asked that because they're wearing a dress and have uncut hair. But men, you need to be able to be so holy and righteous that when you walk into the golf shop, they understand that you're different. They understand that there's something special about you, that when you walk into work, that they comprehend that you are saturated with the blessings of God, that you are drenched with the power of God. And he said, they shall know that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And he just keeps on giving. Look at the next verse. It's insane what God said he would do for you. Insane. It's almost like I want to take God aside and say, wait a second, are you sure you just want to do just this? I feel like I'm getting, you know, a brand new Corvette for $2. He said in verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground. In the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. Wait! We're still on the same command. I worked in finance and banking and investments for a long time, and I can tell you from experience that this is a very good deal. To obey my voice, and here's the many good things that are going to happen to you. He said, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. the heaven to give the rain to thy land in his season. You know what? For those of us who have been planting seeds, the rain is a blessing from God. For those of us who have been playing around and not doing what we're supposed to do, the rain comes as trouble to us. And so when I obey the voice of the Lord and I obey the commands of the Lord, then I comprehend that I've been putting my seeds into the Word. I've been putting my seeds down in prayer. I've been putting my seeds down in visitation with people. I've been putting my seeds down in my life and to my family and to my friends. I've been planting the Word of the Lord. And so when the rains come, I understand that He is blessing me in my season and to bless all the work that I have done and to bless, and so that I am lending to other nations. The Bible says that I will bless you so much, you will be able to give to other nations. So every time this church writes a check to global missions, and every time this church writes a check to North American missions, and every time we write a check to move the missions, and every time we write a check to ladies' missions and save our children, and everything else that we write checks to, make it so that you can be a giver. You need to look right here in Deuteronomy 28:12, where he said, I'm going to make it so that you can be a giver. And all you have to do is obey the command. There's this guy on YouTube that I've been paying attention to for probably 25 years. He wasn't on YouTube 25 years ago because it didn't exist then, but he was alive. He was writing this old-fashioned thing called books. It's two boards with paper in the middle, and you open them, and there's words on them. Just making sure. His name's Dave Ramsey. I know none of you have ever heard of him. There's one thing that he says that I just love. I just love one thing he says. I like a lot of stuff he says, but there's one thing I just love it. He talks about how good it feels to become a giver. He talks about living like no one else so that you can give like no one else. I've been young, and now I'm not old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, and I have lived long enough to experience what it feels like to be able to give. And what a joy it is to understand that the Lord blesses you and blesses you because you obey His commands and then He fulfills His promises. You obey His commands and you fulfill His promises. And then you are able to also give according to how the Lord blesses you. And so in verse 13, the Bible says, the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. Are you tired of life whipping you around? That's because you're the tail. Huggable dog. My wife has the sweetest, most lovable, huggable dog. She's 50 pounds and she thinks she's a lap dog. And she's got this big tail. And she gets so excited, just like Bruce. And Bruce is a dog, not a person. She gets so excited. And her name's Holiday. And she literally will get so excited that she's just hitting everything with her tail. And I'm like, doesn't that hurt? But if you're living life as the tail, you're getting whacked up by everything. You're getting whacked up against the chair, against the door rail. You're getting the raw end of the deal. The other side of her gets to eat. Deuteronomy 28:13 says, the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail. All you have to do is obey the commands of the Lord, and you get the promises to be on the right end of the deal. And he said, thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. He said, you're only going to be on the top. You're not going to be on the bottom. if you will hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee to do this day. I want you to understand that, yes, God gives us a lot of promises. I want you to understand that God gives us a lot of commands. But the Lord gives us a whole lot of promises that far exceed the commands that he gives us. And so when he says, listen to my voice, I promise you that on the other end of that listening, there's a lot of blessings that you can't contain. When he says, obey my word, I promise you on the other end of that obedience, there's a whole lot of promises you can't contain. You're going to receive more than obey the word of the Lord in all the ways of your life. You're going to receive more than you can contain. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven. Just stand with me today. He said, I'll open heaven. I like that. This morning in the car, Jacob and I were singing, open the windows of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. We sang, open the windows of heaven. Let it rain. But the only way that God's going to open the windows of heaven and let it rain on you is if you obey the commands of the Lord. This altar is open.